Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the TF1 Group conference call presenting the results for the first quarter of 2014. I leave the floor to Philippe Denery, Chief Financial Officer of TF1. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. I will start with a summary of our results for the first quarter of 2014, then I will be happy to take questions. Let's start first by looking at audience figures. During the first quarter of 2014, the TF1 Group managed to deliver strong ratings, even tough to the Sochi Olympics attracted large audiences on the state-owned channels. In this context, the TF1 Group responded well by adapting its programming. In an increasingly competitive TV market, the TF1 Group proved resilient in terms of audiences in the first quarter of 2014. The competition remained strong. The six new HD DTT channels launched at end of 2012 are gaining momentum, and there was a seasonal effect due to the Winter Olympics generating large audiences on the French state-owned channels. Despite this, the group managed to achieve a consolidated audience share of 28.8% of individuals, down 0.8 of a point compared to Q1 of 2013. The TF1 core channel audience share of individuals reached 22.8%, down 0.7 of a point versus Q1 2013, but in line with the fiscal year 2013 audience share. Prime time remained strong with an average of 6.3 million viewers in Q1 2014. The TF1 core channel attracted the largest audience on 80% of evening in the quarter. TF1 also generated the highest rating for 2014 so far, with as many as 13 million viewers watching the entertainment program, Les Enfoirés, on March the 14th. In an increasingly competitive environment, TMC had a 3.2% audience share for individuals, down 0.3 of a point compared to last year, and 3.7% for women below 50, down 0.1 of a point. TMC is still the leading DTT channels for individuals, thanks to its strong programming. NT1 had a 1.9% audience share for individuals versus 2.2% in Q1 2013. Audience share for women under 50 decreased by 0.1 of a point to 2.9%. HD1, our new free-to-air HD channel launched in December 2012, has been ramping up in terms of audience and is a leading channel among the six new DTT channels. Over the first 3 months of 2014, HD1 reached 0.9% audience share for individuals and 1.1% for women under 50, up 0.5 of a point year-on-year. The channel continues to improve month after month. Now let's turn to group revenues. I would like to remind you that in accordance with the IFRS 5 accounting standard, Eurosport International was deconsolidated at end of 2013 and is no longer included in the group's revenue or operating profit. Also, in accordance with the IFRS 11 accounting standard, the TF6 and Série Club channels owned 50% by TF1, 50% by M6, are accounted for by the equity method as of 1st of January 2014, rather than by the proportional consolidation method as previously. Overall, group consolidated revenues for the first quarter of 2014 reached 469.7 million euros, down by 1.6% year-on-year. In an economic and competitive context, which remains tough, total advertising revenues for the group proved resilient as they were virtually unchanged, down just 0.4% over the first 3 months. Free-to-air TV advertising revenues for the group increased slightly compared to end of March 2013, reaching 332.9 million euro, up by 0.6% year-on-year. The advertising market was soft in the first quarter of 2014, with price pressure remaining tough, mainly due to the six new DTT channels growing their position on the market. Advertisers continue to adopt a wait-and-see attitude ahead of the French local election and the launch of the responsibility pact by the government, and also ahead of the Football World Cup, which will take place in Q2 and Q3. The household cleaning, healthcare, financial and car industry sectors sharply increased their gross advertising spend in Q1. The food, cosmetic, travel and telecom sectors were also up, but to a lesser extent. Finally, the retail and publishing sectors reduced their gross advertising spend over the quarter. Advertising on other media in the broadcasting subdivision reached €17.6 million at end of March 2014, a 4.3% decrease year-on-year. This was due to lower advertising revenues at Metro News, offsetting good performances by our radio business and our third-party advertising agency. As regards other revenue of the broadcasting and content segment, non-advertising revenues of the broadcasting activity amount to 20.4 million euros at end of March 2014, down 4.1 million euros compared to Q1 2013, due to lower interactivity revenues linked to seasonal programming factors. Bear in mind that seasonal programming factors were more favorable in Q1 2013, especially Koh-Lanta, which usually generates strong interactivity revenue. Revenues for the content business amount to €14.4 million at end of March 2014, up by 14.3% versus end of March 2013, because more movies went on general release in Q1 2014 than a year earlier. Revenues generated by our rights catalogs were also up over the quarter. The consumer product segment generated revenues of €51.1 million for the quarter, down by 5.7% versus Q1 2013. TF1 Video is still suffering from a depressed video market, whereas revenues at TF1 Entreprise are increasing, thanks largely to its licensing and music departments. In Q4 2013, our home shopping activity disposed of Place des Tendances and e-commerce business. Excluding the effect of this deconsolidation, home shopping revenues were up year-on-year in Q1 2014. The pay TV segment generated €30.9 million of revenues in Q1 2014, down 7.8% compared to the same period last year. First of all, I would remind you that Eurosport International was deconsolidated as of 1st of January 2014 and is therefore no longer included in this segment, as well as TFC and Série Club, as already mentioned, consistent with the IFRS 11 accounting standard. Eurosport France revenues reached €16.1 million, down by 5.8% year-on-year, with lower advertising revenues over the quarter. Revenues from thematic channels in France fell by 9.8% due to increased competition from free-to-air channels. Now let's turn to the cost side. The cost of programs for the group's four free-to-air channels stood at €230.4 million for the first quarter of this year, down by €27.8 million. These savings are mainly non-recurring and linked to seasonal cost efficiency initiatives, given that Q1 is a period of lower advertising demand and better circulation of programs among our channels. The group did not generate any recurring savings on the cost of programs for the TF1 core channel in Q1 2014. However, we remain committed to reaching our target of €10 million of recurrent savings on the cost of programs for the TF1 channel over 2014 as a whole, as part of phase two of our optimization plan. Other operating costs, including depreciation, amortization, and provisions, fell by €11.3 million year-on-year. The group generated €4 million of recurring savings in the quarter through productivity gains. We are delivering on phase two of our optimization plan and remain committed to adapting our business model in an uncertain environment. The group also generated non-recurring savings in the quarter in order to improve its profitability in an unstable environment. As a result, operating profit for the first quarter 2014 was 10.4 8.9 million euros compared to a loss of 20.7 million euros in Q1 2013. This performance is a result of seasonal optimization of programming on our four free-to-air channels and of the ongoing optimization of our business model. We have managed to improve our profitability for the fourth quarter in a row. Consolidated net profit attributable to the group was 14.6 million euros versus a net loss of 6.3 million euros to end of March 2013. Income tax expense for Q1 2014 was 2 million euro versus 12.6 million euro tax gain a year earlier, in line with the group's operating loss for Q1 2013. Joint ventures and associates contribute a loss of 1 million euros versus a profit of 0.3 million euros last year, with the TF6 and Série Club channels hit by competition from DTT. The group was cash positive during the quarter. There was no cost of debt to end of March 2014, but net financial income of 0.3 million euros. The net cash position of continuing operations stands at 254.4 million euros versus 188.9 million euros at end of December 2013. Net profit from continuing operation was 8 million euros, up by 16 million euros year on year. Net profit for Eurosport International, which is accounted for a held-for-sale operation, was 8.4 million euros to end of March 2014, up by 4.9 million euros year-on-year. The improvement in profitability reflects tight cost control and the first synergies from the partnership with Discovery. So to conclude, I would say that the group is delivered in Q1, both in terms of savings and ratings. For the fourth quarter in a row, TF1 Group has improved its profitability and is in tough context as delivered ratings at a level compared to the average of last year. The group is reiterating its target of 25 million euros of recurring savings during the rest of 2014 as part of phase two of its optimization plan, aimed at generating 85 million euros of recurring savings. Advertisers continue to adopt a wait-and-see attitude, and visibility on their advertising spend remains very low in the context of a wider TV offer in France. The coming months will be full of initiatives for the TF1 Group, which will broadcast the Football World Cup, intensify its partnership with Discovery, and pursue its application for LCI to switch from pay to freeview DTT. The TF1 Group will keep transforming its business and adapting its model with cautious and determination while actively pursuing its goal of creating value for its shareholders. So that concludes my review for TF1 results for the first quarter of 2014. Thank you again for having joined us tonight, and should you have any questions, please do not hesitate to ask. Finally, I would remind you that a recording of this conference call will be available. You will find the connection details on our website, group-tf1.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. We have a question from Lisa Wang from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hello, Lisa. We don't hear you.
Just a second, please. We have a technical issue.
Hello?
Hello.
Allô. Les questions-réponses.
Oui.
Allô, vous m'entendez? Allô.
Oui.
Hello. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, Madame Wang, please go ahead. Thank you very much.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Cool. Yeah, so my first question was on the advertising market. I mean, didn't see a reference this time to the full-year outlook. I mean, last time you said you expect a further decrease in the TV market this year. So just wondering, you know, whether you just forgot to say that again, or is there any reason to be less cautious? And regarding Q2, now that the local elections are done and the World Cup is approaching, I mean, should you now start to see a decent pickup? So we'd be grateful if you can give us a sense of how April is trending and what are your expectations for Q2. The second question is on the prominent cost. On the 28 million kind of lower reduction in prominent cost, how much will be coming back in the next few quarters, and in which particular quarters we will see the cost coming back? And also, how much was that it was due to just the better optimization of your programming across your four channels, which I guess is not recurring, but you don't necessarily need to spend that in the rest for the rest of the year. And finally, my question is on the use of cash. So with the Eurosport deal expected to be closed in the next few weeks, you should get another 300 million of cash. So just wondering if you can give us a timing on when you expect to make a decision on the uses of all the cash you have on your balance sheet. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Lisa, for your question. On the first question, in terms of outlook, we don't give any outlook now on the advertising. There is no visibility, and as you know, we have decided that we will not give any outlook for the year, and that has been already said in February. For Q2, I would say that without any visibility, I think that there is no improvement in terms of visibility, which remains very, very low. What we can say is that April and the first 2 weeks of May are a bit disappointing, but we're still in a wait-and-see situation from advertisers. Concerning programming costs, out of the 28 million savings which have been achieved in Q1, part of it will come back, a good part of it will come back in the next quarter. They are non-recurrent, and they will be coming back on a regular basis during the next three quarters, probably a bit more in Q4 than in the two others, because of the sports events and the World Cup. A few of them are tactical, probably in a proportion of two-thirds, one-third. One-third could be tactical, and we'll see how we can optimize depending on the environment. Concerning the closing of Eurosport and the cash, we confirm that first the closing should take place within the next few weeks. Just we have received the authorization from the different competition authorities, and now we are processing in order to close in the following weeks. From the cash we will get, I will remind you that we are selling 31% of Eurosport International. We keep, at least till the end of the year, Eurosport France. So the value to take into account is based on Eurosport International, both in terms of value and in terms of cash, because you refer to our 300 million euro, which is probably a bit over what we can expect based on what has been already published. Now, based on this, I remind you that the value of Eurosport International is on a enterprise value for out of not taking into account Eurosport France, 817 million euro. Now, apart from that, I would say that we are processing in order to review, as we have already said, the capacity or the way of new business development and growth in the next 2 years and the financial resources we need for that. There is no specific pressure on that, and we will come back to the market in the next few months, probably possibly end of this year, to give you more information on the use of the cash. We said that priority would be given to growth for the group, as well as a strong financial structure, and we'll see how and which proportion will go back to shareholders.
And when you say April and the first 2 weeks of May are disappointing, do you mean they are negative, like worse than Q1?
As I always said, it is not very relevant to look at 1 month on a monthly basis. So I don't think that I can give any indication in terms of minus or plus. I'm just saying that has in terms of trend and in terms of what we see during the first 6 weeks of the quarter, it's a bit disappointing compared to the expectation. But again, there are coming events and there are expectations on the future. So that's the only thing I can say.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from Adrien de Saint-Hilaire from Exane. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Thanks for taking the questions. The first of them relates again to advertising. It seems that all neighboring economies to France are improving in April and May and potentially June. Why do you think France is disappointing? Is it due to prices? Is it due to volumes? That's the first question. And secondly, given the somewhat difficult performance of the non-advertising revenues, and particularly in consumer products, are there any activities which you are considering to discontinue, sell down, or maybe close in order to improve the overall profitability of the group? Thank you.
Well, thank you for your question. Concerning advertising, I think that there are different issues regarding neighboring economy. I would say whether we're talking about economy or advertising market, I would say that we are in a bit different situation in terms of the global environment and the economy in France. We are also in a very competitive market in terms of advertising and advertising on TV again. The view we have is that as compared to other markets, the visibility is not improving. The decision process from advertisers is very short, the 6 weeks is the second quarter doesn't make necessary in France the whole year or the perspective or the forecast for the year. I'm just saying that it's a bit disappointing as compared to what was our expectation for those specific period of the year. But we are fully aware of the fact that there are new events coming, as well as some expectation on the economy or measures which could be taken by the government. Considering other activity, I think that the other activities have demonstrated their capacity to be profitable during the quarter. They have some, for different reasons, including seasonal reason. They have a drop in their top line, but they have improved. Most of them have improved their profitability. Except video, which is on a very structural market specific and which is specifically for physical video down and suffering from, as other actors on the market, which is suffering from a very structural change. For the other activities, we are very confident, and it's more in terms of seasonality or specific reason, like for teleshopping, the change in the perimeter. PFE Entreprise has been very well, is doing very well, as well as teleshopping, if you take out the e-commerce activity which has been sold. The same for contents, which have been performing quite well, both in terms of revenues and in terms of profitability. So that's no reason for us to change the strategy or the specific issues on those business. And we know that TF1 Video is suffering from the market, but decision has already been taken, measures have been taken in 2012, and the whole model has been adapted and is delivering in terms of profitability, because TF1 Video has decreased significantly the structural expenses and structural costs, and is delivering at least break-even, even if the market is not good at all.
Thank you, Philippe. If I can sneak in a last question, is about savings. I think last year you made about 10 million euros or so of non-recurring savings. Can you tell us how much of those will be reinvested in 2014 and whether there will be new non-recurring savings again in 2014, just to understand the balance 13-14 in terms of the non-recurring savings. Thank you.
It's a good question. I can admit that it's not very easy in terms of follow-up. We have made some savings last year, tactical savings, 10 million, and we will deliver 10 million recurrent savings this year. So we have to deliver 10 million savings this year during the last 9 months of the year. That is our commitment under the phase two of the optimization plan. We will reinvest part of the 10 million tactical savings made last year. We'll try to be as cautious as possible, and that will depend on the competition in terms of program and to keep the ratings we have and we want to achieve. We'll try to reinvest only part of it, limited if possible. That will depend, of course, on the global environment. But we will reinvest part of it. Nothing has been reinvested, as you've seen in Q1. So that gives us flexibility, and that's an opportunity for us because we can play with more flexibility due to tactical savings last year and additional tactical savings we've achieved during Q1.
Thank you, Philippe.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Laurie Davidson from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi there, it's Laurie here from Deutsche. The first question is just on the impact of LCI and the switch you're making on the channel to free-to-air access. The second question, can you just confirm the value of the resale of World Cup rights to be in sport? And the third question, just to follow up on the non-recurrent savings, you're saying that you had 10 million non-recurrent savings last year, which will mostly be reinvested this year, and then we've got the non-recurring savings you also made in the first quarter of this year also to come back. So should we be thinking about another 30 million of additional costs to come back into the P&L through the remaining 9 months? Is that the right way to think about it?
So on your first question, impact of LCI, we are working on the different scenario in terms of business plan for LCI. As you know, we're in the process with our regulator to have the position of the regulator by the end of June, beginning of July. There will be some impact in terms of in the P&L for the first 2-3 years. We can't expect profit or reach a break-even before 3 years. We'll keep the figures first for the regulator, and that remains at this stage confidential and to be discussed. We will come back on it hopefully end of July if a decision is taken by the regulator accordingly to the timetable which has been given by the CSA. Concerning the value of resale of rights, we are, we have signed a confidential clause in the contract with Bein Sport. The only thing I can say is the benchmark we had in 2010, and I remind you that we have sold for 33 million euro the rights in 2010, is a relevant benchmark, but those rights have been sold only on the pay TV and, of course, with a different market, on a different market. So, of course, value could be will be adjusted to this. But you get some benchmark through what has been achieved in terms of value of resale 4 years ago. Now, concerning the recurrent, non-recurrent savings, yes, we intend to reinvest around 30 million euro of those tactical savings which have been achieved both in Q1 as well as partly a combination of what has been achieved last year. But in the same time, we are saying that we will deliver some 10 million recurrent savings based on the optimization plan. So yes, we will reinvest around 13 million euro, 30, and we should have 10 million as a compensation of that, 10 million savings, recurrent savings to be delivered in the next 9 months, and some part of some tactical savings, which should be between 0 and 10 altogether.
Great, thank you.
In addition, if I may say, in addition, we have to, of course, delivered some 15 million, not on the programming, but on the efficiency, on the optimization plan, as you know, because, again, we have the commitment to deliver, apart from programming costs, we were talking about programming costs, but in addition to programming costs, we have to deliver an additional 15 million, 1.5, to those 10 million recurrent savings in the next 9 months. We have already delivered 4 million during the first quarter in terms of productivity. We still have 15 to deliver during the next three quarters.
Great. Thank you very much.
That's it.
Thank you. Our next question is from Julien Roch from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, Philippe. Good evening, Christine. I'm sorry, I'm confused on the cost savings. The first confusion is on page 34 of the full year presentation, you were talking about 29 million. You're now talking about 25, and the difference is in productivity, 15 versus 19. I know it's only 4 million, but that's the first question. And then I'm a bit confused on, so you have 30 million of reinvestment, but then you're going to have 10 million of recurring savings and 0 to 10 of tactical. But even if I put 5, which is the midpoint of tactical, that's a 15 increase in cost, and you're supposed to do 25 or 29 of savings. So to remove my confusion, could you just communicate on overall savings, recurring and tactical for the full year? And what needs to be done in the remaining 9 months, please?
Yes, I'll try to clarify. We are committed for 29 million recurring savings for this year. We have already achieved 4 productivity. We remain with 25 for the next 9 months. So altogether, we have to deliver 29 recurring savings, and we can expect those 29 to be on the P&L, savings to be on the P&L this year. Now, second point is that we have on those 29, we have, again, 10 million relating to programming costs and 19 relating to efficiency. So what we are saying is that you can get your, we will have 29 recurrent savings, and in addition to that, we've made 10 million tactical savings last year. We will reinvest part of it, the only part of it this year, that concern programming cost. So what you can take as an assumption on the P&L for the year is 29 recurrent and between 0 and 10 savings, which would be due to the non-reinvestment of tactical we've made last year. And forget about the 30 million, which has been tactical savings in Q1. They will be reinvested during the next three quarters. If we can optimize, we'll do so. We're not saying that we are just wanted to spend or to, but we know that there's been some seasonality effect in Q1 If I take an example, we have broadcasted only one match of the French football team as compared to three last year, same period of time, same quarter. So, of course, those savings of 8 million are just tactical and seasonal. And, of course, if the French football team will have a special match, we will broadcast them during the next three quarters. So, if I summarize for everybody to be clear, 29 will be in our commitment. In addition to that, between 0 and 10, as additional tactical savings which will not be reinvested.
But what about last year? Because you said you will reinvest some of last year. So isn't it the tactical from last year that you're going to reinvest and the tactical of this year basically offset each other and we're still around 29?
No, I just want to say we are not going to reinvest all 10 million tactical savings we've made last year. Because of the context, we hope to reinvest part of it in 2014, we'll see 2015. Second point, I don't want you to think that we will deliver 30 million savings which have been achieved in Q1 just because those are very tactical and relating to a quarter. That's a problem of quarterly report. It doesn't give a necessary clarification for such issue for the whole year. So don't expect to already grant it, of course, 28 million savings on programming for the full year as tactical savings. We will reinvest those because of their nature. So again,
Just to be 100% clear, so it's minus 29 recurring, then you're going to reinvest some of last year, so between 0 and 10, say 5, so we had a net 24 of savings. But when you answer Laurie, you also said that in the next 9 months, you also would get some tactical savings of 0 to 10. Didn't you, or did I misunderstood? Is there three lines to your cost or only two, either 29 are recurring, the reinvestment from last year, but is there some extra tactical saving this year as well?
No. The nature of the figures, I think there is a confusion there, just because those are all 25. I have said that out of 29 recurrent savings, we have already made 4, and we remain with 25. That's clear.
Yeah, that's clear.
But we will deliver 29 for the whole year.
That's clear.
Now, what I'm saying is that we are not going to reinvest all the 10 million. So you're right to say that if we reinvest 4 or 5 million, that will remain with a net savings for the year of 29 minus what will be reinvested, being 25 or 24. Is that clear now?
Yeah, it's clear. So there's no extra tactical saving this year. There's just two lines, 29 and the reinvestment, just to be 100% clear.
Well, that could be, but that's not in the pipe today.
Okay.
and then tactical.
And then to come back on the use of cash, you said that you would, the priority was investment and that you were reviewing the type of investment you could make. And then you said we would come back to shareholders in the next few months, which for me I was interpreting as at the half-year results. But then you said, it could be at the end of the year. So are we going to know about the cash return? When are we going to know about the cash return? Is my second question.
Well, I've never said that your interpretation, and that's a good question, and you've tried, Julien, but I've never said that could be half your results, because I've just said that it will be in the next few months and probably more end of the year.
Okay.
More probably end of the year.
All right. Clear.
Yeah, thank you. It's clear.
Thank you. Merci.
Merci.
Our next question is from Chris John from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks, guys, for taking my question. Chris from HSBC. Maybe first one on the World Cup again. There's been some press commentary that actually the initial bookings look quite good. So I'm going back to the answer you've given on the sort of disappointing April and 2 weeks of May. Maybe you can give us some color on the World Cup booking in particular. That would be quite helpful. Also, when I'm looking at the schedule of the World Cup, I'm kind of of wondering, in terms of cost, we have basically a ton of games in Q2, but everything from the quarterfinals to the finals in July. So I'm kind of wondering. I assume that not every match is worth the same. So maybe you can also give us some insight on what we should expect on the cost side between moving the rights cost within Q2 and Q3. Then a question on your outlook. I'm kind of wondering what to read into the basically into the last sentence of your outlook, speaking about adapting the business model, moving the industry forward. I mean, what are we hinting at here? Maybe I'm reading too much into this, but some clarification, some color, and that would be quite interesting. And then, given that, maybe even related to that, if I see correctly, once Eurosport France drops out in 2015 in terms of distribution obligation, you will have one additional license. Then we've just heard a couple of days ago that you plan to close another channel, receiving another license. What can we expect or what can we not expect in terms of the free license that you might have going forward? Are they going to be used? Are they going to be part of, are they going to be bought, organic, any sort of flavor on that would be really helpful. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, well, on your first question for the World Cup, I would say that the initial booking are good. They are in line with what we had 4 years ago. So just, I would say, in line as such events would create, and they are rather good. That's what I can say today, and that's for June. We'll still have, of course, the process. And, of course, it's also in line with the commercial strategy which has been put in place in order to keep some value on those kind of events. But reasonably and in good and in line with what has been achieved 4 years ago. Concerning the cost of the events and in Q2 and Q3, yes, it's true to say that final and semifinals will take place in July. There will be some impact of the cost in Q2 in a proportion which will be two-thirds on Q2 and one-third in Q3 for the rights and for the events. That will be the split between Q2 and Q3. Roughly, of course, the value of each match is a bit different, but at the end, that the proportion will have. In terms of adapting the model and what we can expect or what we intend to say, I would say that we are fully aware of the fact that the profitability of the group TF1 today should improve, and we are not fine, or we have to progress. And that will come from different leverage. The first leverage we expect for the group is to work more in terms of multi-channel approach and to be in a position to better deliver in terms of synergy between TF1, TMC, and T1, HD1. This multi-channel approach has already started, but is limited by the commitment we have taken with our Competition Commission till January 2015. And from then, we can expect some synergy in terms of cost. From then as well, we can expect a few additional revenues linked with the end of this 5 years period commitment we have taken vis-à-vis the regulator. Apart from that, we think that there are still some possibility in the future, and there is no timing, but as you know, we are still suffering from a very strong regulation. And based on what we have today, we can expect some move on the regulation. The third leverage we can expect is going on the optimization plan. And, of course, at the end of this 240 million recurrent savings process, we will benefit of this on a structural basis. I would say that there are two other leverage for Group TF1. One is not under our control, but is basically the macro, and we can probably expect one day or another to have an improvement on the macro, as well as, in a certain way, some consistency or some move in terms of the whole sector and the number of actors. As you know, we're the only country where we have more than 11 actors on the TV market as compared to one or two, maximum three in other European countries. That for historical reason, but one or another, we can expect that some leverage might come from some kind of consolidation of the sector, which would help and be more consistent with other European countries. At the end, what we can say that what we intend to do is to be more in line with the average profitability of our peers in any other countries of the sectors, both northern countries and southern countries, as an average, based on the different leverage we have, and that what we intend or what is the target in terms of adapting our model to the environment. But we still are suffering a lot from the regulation, and we know that as long as the regulation will be the same as what it is today, we can't expect to be at the top or difficult in terms of average compared to peers. Now, for your fourth question, licenses, yes, I confirm that with TF6 and Eurosport later on, not being broadcasted through DTT, we'll have the possibility, or there will be two licenses available. But I remind you that having a license available or rights to get license doesn't give any license. Basically, the regulator is granting, according to a specific process, those licenses. So we will have at the end, probably at the end of the year or beginning of next year, we will have five licenses. The regulation gives us the possibility, and that's a possibility, to get seven. So we'll still have a possibility or opportunities to have two additional licenses, but that will depend on the regulator position and how he will deal with the spectrum and will deal with the license. We are fine with four free-to-air and tomorrow hopefully five free-to-air channels, and that is not an issue for us. Of course, that will depend on both regulator and the whole move of the sector. That's the only thing I can say today on those licenses.
Okay, that's very helpful. Maybe one or two follow-ups. I'm not sure if you're willing to give, but you said that basically the initial bookings are as good as they were, or even somewhat better than they were a couple of years ago. I mean, if we look 4 years back, it's also quite a bit of volatility in France back then. Maybe you want to give us a rough indication of what sort of contribution the World Cup did back then. And then on the regulatory side, I'm kind of wondering, basically broadcasters in France have all been very vocal about Netflix and the lane, sort of playing level fields in terms of regulation. Now we see them launching from Luxembourg. This is not even specific to Netflix. I'm kind of wondering where in particular you think that regulation is going to help, whether this could even be on the tech side or, you know, owning even more co-production rights, stuff like that. Anything that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Yes, well, in terms of World Cup, the only thing I can say is that will have some positive impact. Now, that's the main thing you can say. And just to remind you, I've not said that it's better than last year. As I've said, it's similar or comparable to 4 years ago. I'm not saying that the booking is better or it's in line. Just to clarify, it's in line.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks.
it's a positive, that will have a positive impact. Now, in terms of Netflix, yes, we consider, as CF1 is concerned, we consider that Netflix, we have to admit that Netflix may be on the French market in the next few months, in the end of the year, we'll see. We feel that Netflix is more competing with pay than with free-to-air, and we think that through the way they could be on the market, that would be an opportunity for all actors, including authorities and regulators, to take into account the existing regulation and to be on a more fairness position concerning all the actors, even if some are on the web and on TV, other on TV. But basically, that could help in terms of discussion and the kind of position all actors have, including in terms of the production sector and how to move from where we are. So that could be, I would say, in quotation, a kind of opportunity for the TV sector to accelerate move on the regulation, and that's a discussion with authorities and regulators for the future.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question is from Bruno Aron from Odo. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, Philippe. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Bruno.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I've got two questions left, please. The first one concerning pricing. Could you tell me whether the pricing environment is as tough in Q2 as in Q1, or is it just tougher? That's the first one. And the second one concerning the use of cash, I understand that you can't tell much more until the end of the year, but is a share buyback something that you could have in mind? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, on your second question first, yes, we have plenty of things in mind, so we can consider that that could be also something we have in mind. We are looking at first the different possibility and modalities, and depending on the amount and the way, we will do maybe some share buyback or other ways to give some back to our shareholders. Concerning, so nothing is excluded. On the first point, pricing pressure in Q2 as compared to Q1, I would say that in Q1, as you know, the pressure is coming from the fact that at least during 2 months there is not such a demand. The demand is not very strong, and that's the case for January, February. So traditionally, of course, usually we have this price pressure. And in Q1, we had this pressure as it is normally and usually, even if it was a bit stronger because of those new channels and more competition. Now, in Q2, the demand is the reason of the pricing pressure is for the moment, and again, I'm talking about the first few weeks of the quarter, relates to the demand in the environment and the position as we see it from advertisers, which are still on a wait-and-see, if I may say, position as compared to what we could expect from them. But, of course, we are still in an expecting position in terms of economy, in terms of global environment, so we can understand their situation and kind of trend which go on from the beginning of this year, expectation after election, and expectation for new measures in the on the economy. So that's what we can say.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Catherine O'Neill from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. I've got three questions. Firstly, I know you mentioned one of the reasons your programming costs were lower in the first quarter was because there were less French team games. I would have thought in 2014 as a whole there'll be less games outside of the World Cup, and if so, would that not mean that lower cost sort of carries through for the year? Secondly, on pay TV, it was obviously loss-making in the first quarter. Should we assume it will be loss-making for the year, or are there things you can do on the cost side that means it will be a bit more profitable as we go through the year? And then finally, on the consumer products area of the business, the operating profit was better than I expected, at least. Should we extrapolate the sort of 1Q trend for the year? Thank you.
Thank you. Well, on your first question, you're right to say that probably we'll have not necessarily exactly the same amount of match of the French football team this year. So that could be some savings, non-recurrent, but savings for the year. But that is limited for a very specific program, which is a French football team. Nevertheless, I have to admit that that could be the case for probably one match, or we can have a few savings on this. Now, regarding the other savings we have achieved, it's basically linked to to the fact that we had some programs which will be broadcasted later on this year instead of being broadcasted during the first quarter. One of the examples is for us, for Koh-Lanta, which is, as you know, a strong program and which will be broadcasted later on this year, which was broadcasted in Q1 of 13 and which has not been broadcasted this year. So that's the reason of why we are limited in terms of savings, even if you are right to say that there could be a few savings on a specific program like the French football team. I just would like to remind you that if we don't broadcast a French football team match, we have to have a program, a replacement program, and which delivered in terms of audience the same kind of audience ratings. And so there's that program which will replace such a match will have some cost as well, and we have to strengthen or reinvest in order to keep the ratings at a high level as well. But that's just for benefit of understanding what we are trying to do on the programming. On pay TV, do we can expect some losses for the whole year? I would say probably there is not so much flexibility just because, as you know, the revenues are secured through platform at a level which is not a variable, which we can't expect too much opportunities on this, and the remaining portion will come from or should come from advertising. And except if the macro would be significantly better, and so some additional budget would come on those channels, which has not been the case at the moment, we can't expect positive results or some profit on this specific sector for the year. Now, concerning the consumer sector, I'm not sure that I understand very well your question.
I was just saying the sort of profit you delivered on that division was probably better than I expected in terms of the margin. I just wondered if that we should, you know, use that margin and apply that for the rest of the year, or whether there was something that particularly helped you in the 1Q.
There is no reason for the trend we had this quarter will not be the same for the whole year, so we can expect the same trend with some same trend for the whole year, but having in mind that there is a part of the business and a good part of the business for some of those activities, and especially for TF1 Entreprise, which is achieved during the last quarter. So, of course, we'll see how the consumption and what will be the environment before Christmas, but we know that there is some leverage at the end of the year for some of those activities. But everything being the same, I would say no reason for deterioration during the next three quarters for the consumer services business in
okay.
terms of profitability. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Conor O'Shea from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Good evening, Philippe. Evening, everybody. Thanks for taking my questions. Just a few questions from my side as well. Firstly, to follow up on a previous question about the World Cup, just wondering, Philippe, could you give us any even just rough sense of how much of a net loss there was on your World Cup investments in 2010, so net of the costs after you sold, resold some of the content to Canal Plus and France Télévisions. Secondly, on your free press business, Metro News, which I think you said was weak again in the first quarter, I think your direct competitor in that activity has suggested the time would be good maybe for some consolidation in that sector. Are you open to that idea? And thirdly, just in terms of uses of cash, more generally, you've obviously mentioned that you expect consolidation at some time. I think M6 has said the same thing, but as you have a net cash balance at the moment, would that not be a better use of your net cash rather than share buybacks to really drive this process forward from TF1's point of view, particularly as you've freed up space. You will free up space from TF6 and Eurosport France in terms of the number of licenses.
Okay. On your first question in terms of World Cup 4 years ago and what we had, I remind you that we had an amount of 120 million rights cost 4 years ago as compared to 130 this year. We've sold for 33 million and we had a value of 50 million of what has been sold. So basically your losses of reselling rights was 17 million, and we had 70 million in terms of programming costs. So we had, of course, with the 70 million euro cost for the match which has been broadcasted on TF1, the direct profit or losses of, I would say, on the revenues on the channel was negative. We were not profitable, and we've said that we were not profitable at such an event on direct revenues. We had complementary revenues coming from advertising on ETF1 and other revenues coming from the events. And so, but basically, those 70 million are not profitable, and there is a loss on this. I can't give you any amount on the loss. But we, there is no reason for a significant change or improvement in terms of the rationale, except that we are talking about 130 million this time. And there is no reason to have significant change, whether positive or negative, as compared to what we had in 2010. Now, second question was free press. And there has been a lot of rumors, a lot of things which have been said on the free-to-air press in France. It's clear that we are all making loss. We've been making losses in 2013. The three free-to-air press, free press, was has made losses. We think that there things should be moved, and we have to achieve something, and we are considering different scenario. We're not expecting having scenario from rumors, so we are working on it. And I would say that the target is to find ways. I don't think that in terms of consolidation that is the only way, or that is something that we consider being the only scenario. We'll see, and we are open. But we are working on our own on the different scenario. In terms of cost and in, which was the cash, sorry, and the use of cash for consolidation of the sector, I would say simply that there is no reason for us to push or to be part in terms of consolidation. If there are opportunities, of course, we will look at it, but more in terms of opportunities that driving any kind of consolidation of the sector. There are actors. Fine, we have four, maybe tomorrow five free-to-air channels. We are just saying that the rationale for the sector seems to be that there could be some consolidation, but the target for Group TF1 is not necessary to increase the number of free-to-air channels and to have seven free-to-air channels. Our position is very pragmatic and is based on move of the sector and the different actors than more than any kind of principle or any kind of specific target which has been fixed. So the issue for us is to be flexible, to adapt, being pragmatic, and we will see how and what will come the market. We are far from the position or the situation where we were in terms of one channel for the group as compared to the others. Now we have free-to-air channels, and we're fine with this situation.
Great. Okay, thanks. That's very helpful.
Thank you. Our next question is from Filippo Franco from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. So I have two questions, please. The first is referring what you wrote in your press release and actually what you have been saying about the intense competitive pressure in France on TV. My question is that when you are talking about this intensive competitive pressure, are you just referring to the additional digital channels, or it is also related to a competition directly on the main channel from M6. And the second question is on the regulation. One potential positive strategy development for you in the future will be to be a content producer. But obviously, you need this to be allowed by regulation in France. I know that this was discussed. So where we are now in terms of regulation for content production? Thank you.
Thank you. Concerning your first question relating to additional channels of the competition from tough competition in France, I would say that the main reason is due to the fact that it's not a question of number of channels, it's a question of DTT channels. The issue is there are many actors having new channels or recent channels, and of course that put pressure because all TV group have to reach first the break-even, starting a few years ago from scratch, and some of them from scratch for the last 12 months, like Groupe Amaury with one channel which has been launched end of December 12. So basically the issue is the number of actors, the necessity for TV group. We have around 10 TV groups in France, 10 actors, to get revenues and to finance their program. So that's what explained mainly what we think in terms of competitiveness and compared to other countries. Of course, there is a competition on historical channel between M6, that's traditional, M6, TF1. But the competition is more coming from additional actors and by way some impact from DTT channels which have taken extended volumes. And as you know, DTT channels, first and the second block of DTT channel that increased their volume by around, the volume of the market by around 20%. So basically demand, the offer is larger and the competition is stronger. As long as we are still with this situation with number of actors, it's not a question of channel.
Sorry, just a follow-up, because I asked the question because I remember that last year, you were saying that, and Nantes also made specific comment about the fact that M6 was very aggressive in terms of pricing for its channel. I have the feeling from your answer that is no longer the case, and really the competition is more from the digital channel. Is my understanding correct?
Your understanding is partly correct. Definitely there has been some strong competition and increase in volume by M6 in the past. But as we have said in the past, there is a limit in terms of increasing volume or putting pressure on price for all actors. So, yes, the pressure as compared to what it has been in terms of volume coming from specific actors are a bit different from where what it was. I'm just saying that, of course, it's not the same situation, but once you have increased your volume, the volume remains there. And as long as you don't move, you have already done it. Just to explain it, I'm just saying that the pressure remains strong, including from all actors, including from M6, but it's true to say that in terms of trend, what has been achieved is done. So the future, increasing pressure is less coming from the specific actors than in the past.
Okay.
Now, concerning regulation, right, you're right to say that there is some limits in terms of regulation, and if we want to develop or extend our activity in the production sector, there is some issue regarding the regulation. Nevertheless, there are some possibility first in terms of entertainment program, because what is regulated in France is mainly linked with French drama first and production of French drama in a certain proportion in the cinema, but not in terms of format, in terms of production of entertainment programs. It's also the possibility for us to develop content through catalogs or other rights we can get. So, yes, limited as compared to others, but some capacity and still some possibility to develop in the production sector if we have opportunities in certain direction.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Julian Rossi from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking the question. It's a quick one. You've been delivering tactical cost savings on a pretty regular basis over the last few years, especially when advertising was disappointing, which was pretty much always. I'm wondering if you can clarify if, let's say, advertising can remain a bit disappointing, as you said, can you continue delivering tactical cost savings, or are you wedded to re-spend these savings? How much flexibility do you actually have? It's my only question. Thanks.
Yes, thank you for your question. Yes, that's what we are trying to achieve, is to be more flexible, and that is what we have on the agenda and what we are trying to achieve. So as long as there is no improvement in terms of advertising and in terms as well of the economy, we will try to keep or to deliver tactical savings, taking into account the global environment. It's not good as compared to reference savings, but if we feel that there could be some disappointment, limited disappointment, or no improvement, we are more flexible than we were. That's the only thing I can say, but by definition, tactical savings are not, should be reinvested one day or not. The merit of what has been achieved within the organization is to say, as you have mentioned, we have the capacity to deliver some tactical savings on a regular basis, which is the benefit of this model, or what we call the model. But we also know that those tactical savings for the benefit of the group and the benefit and the position of the ratings are not on the long term sustainable, and that on the long term we will have to reinvest. We were trying to deal with this as and that's the job of the management to deal as far as possible and to keep the position as well in terms of ratings. Yeah. There are no more questions?
Okay, thank you. We have no other questions for the moment.
Yes. Okay, so if there is no more question, we can probably thank you everybody for attending this conference call. We remain available for any kind of clarification. Thank you very much, and have a good evening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.